Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my guest today is Ian McPheat. Ian is the superintendent at Avison Global Leadership Academy, and he is now in Altadena, California, because the charter schools that they had were in Pasadena, and they were lost to the fires. Ian, thank you so much for being here today.
Well, thank you for having me. Really glad to be here. We as a charter district, we have two schools. We have Avison School Leaders, our elementary campus, which is one of the schools that burned down. And then we have our middle school, high school, Avison Global Leadership Academy, which was smoked out. And so all of our students had to move. We had 70 plus students lose their homes. I lost my home to the fire, to the Eaton Canyon fire. And we had about 15 staff members also lose their homes and about four of our governing board members, so about half of our governing board. So the impacts have been significant. We've found that, you know, through this time, we've really, you know, stuck together, and we found resilience through really just being active and supportive of one another. So actually, it's a great time to be an educator if you want to push back and try to fight for what's right. And so that is what our school is all about.
Awesome. I know you've heard it, but breaks my heart for you guys. Absolutely breaks my heart. You know, you hear about things like that on the news and, you know, how horrible it is. And you cannot really, and unless you've been through a tragedy like this, cannot wrap your head around it. And then the news goes on and you don't necessarily always get to talk or see what happens after, you know, how schools and how those kids and how you and how everybody else is managing, you know, how are you? So how are you guys dealing with it? What are you doing? I mean, I know there's got to be some PTSD going on, right, with some of the kids. So how are you guys managing that?
Yeah, for sure. It's been really difficult to help support students through everything that they're going through. You know, you don't start your year thinking, well, if we have a tragedy of this magnitude, how are we going to roll things forward? But the impacts have been significant. I know, just to kind of speak briefly about things our staff have done recently, we have what's called rites of passage trips. And these trips are essentially ways for us to get our students learning in community internationally, nationally. These trips are about deep conceptual understanding of concepts. So we've taken our 8th and 9th graders. They're right now at the Navajo Nation, and so they're doing some great learning there, and they've done learning before then. And our high schoolers, 11th and 12th graders, just returned from Machu Picchu in Peru, which was a really, really impactful trip for them. So, you know, despite all of the things that we're going through, we still kind of get back to our core, which has been about our rites of passage trips, about supporting students and their belonging. And we've been really heartened in that work. And then additionally, you know, recently we've been doing odes to Altadena. We call these poems that we're having students write, odes to Altadena. And it's a workshop that we've done with our faculty and that I've done with the faculty, and then our faculty have been doing with students, and I actually have helped with our student writing as well. And, you know, poetry is a way of reflecting on what's happened, the tragedy that's happened, and then also a way of honoring, honoring the things that, you know, were such a large part of our lives, both in our school and at our homes, and honoring the memory of those. So we've been doing, that's where our focus has been these past few months.
Isn't it amazing how much you can express yourself in the arts, you know, be able to, yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, an interesting thing that we really focus on is our theater program. And we have a partnership with Arts Bridging the Gap, which it's been really fruitful. So we put on two musicals a year. And one of our musicals right now they're working on Alice in Wonderland, and they'll finish that up in the next 2 weeks. you know, it's hard when your school burns down because you have all your stage and all your things set up to find a place, right? So, but we've been able to work through temporary locations, and you know, the generosity of the community and folks who just really step up to help us make sure our theater production continues. It's been really.
My son was in a program. He was a 2020 graduate, so they did not get to finish COVID. Yeah, he was in the arts. He was the lead in Bye Bye Birdie. You know, at the beginning of the year, and then they did a second, and I can't even tell you anymore. It's been too long. He could tell you in a heartbeat what it was. But they were like halfway through and they canceled the entire thing, and it was heartbreaking for them. You know, and I was the bawling mother, you know, I was like, oh, right. My son. He didn't understand. He's like, Mom, why are you crying? You know, he's an 17, 18 year old boy going, it's okay. You know, March, everything closes down, and he was a wrestler, and he did get to go to state, but the basketball team didn't get to go to their state, school. And, they didn't get a graduation. They didn't get a senior skip day. They didn't get the prom. They didn't do any of those things. And, you know, I told him, I said, you don't understand what you're losing right now, honey. And you're never going to get it back. And then 2 years later, after COVID, you know, 22, because he had friends that he went to graduation, you know, and they had a graduation in 22. And he looked at me and because I knew I went to that graduation because I knew some of his friends that were graduating. And he said to me, he said, Mom, I get it now. I get it. I get what I lost. I see what I lost. And I was like, now you know why your mom was a blubbering mess for the whole semester. Because it was just so sad, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's gonna hit at different times.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. You don't know when, you know, I haven't done as much reflecting as I'd like to have been doing. I know that our students have been doing some reflection on, you know, what's going on, but only now in April, end of April, May of 2025, are we kind of grappling with some of the, you know, the raw tragedy that we've experienced. And I would say even now, you know, persevering has, you know, been part of the process. We've been talking about hope being a verb, you know, this idea that it's active. I had a friend of mine. I called a friend of mine he lives up in Portland. He's an author, great person, great educator. And he said, Ian, you don't have to be optimistic during this time, but you do have to be hopeful, and hope is a verb. And he said, you know, he didn't say that. Obviously, I'm just, you know, he was quoting someone else.
Right.
Okay. But it is an active thing. And I tell you, we've been busy. We've been working a lot. Our, you know, both of my principals have been working really tirelessly, and our director team and our office staff. I mean, we just had some wonderful things happen. I mean, we just got some free Dodgers tickets last night, so we were able to bring all of our students to the Dodgers game, which was wonderful, right? Mm-hmm. Dodgers really stepping up.
Yeah.
We took some of our basketball players to a Lakers game, which was great. So there have been moments of levity and moments of brightness, and, you know, folks giving to our school, you know, part of the rebuilding process with us. And those have been just lovely, lovely moments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So where are you now? Obviously you're in a school, you're in a building anyway. So how did that come about? What can you walk us through that process?
Yeah. So we actually use facilities through what's called Prop 39 in California. And through PUSD facilities, we had one Prop 39 facility, and then we rented a second one. Now with the Prop 39 facility, the district facility, PUSD's land, their school that we leased out. Now that that is gone, we're a temporary location for our elementary school on Cleveland campus.
Okay.
And then for our middle school, high school, we're on what's called the Wilson campus in PUSD's, you know, part of their portfolio of schools.
So Pasadena Unified School District, right?
PUSD. That's true. Yeah. They're our authorizer.
You know that, but I want to make sure our listeners know. Absolutely.
Yep. Pasadena Unified School District.
Awesome. So they've been helped. They must have lost schools too, right? Or no?
Well, there were three charter schools that burned down and both Pasadena schools. We had one that was empty, Franklin, that is a Pasadena school. And then another school, Elliott Middle School, that one burned, probably about half of that school burned down. And that was really, really quite a beautiful, beautiful campus, just like the other ones too. Just like Audubon, and you know, our campus was a noise campus. The Pasadena has had some impacts for sure. And charters, you know, charters in the Altadena area have really had, they've been really powerful for the community. They've been an alternative in education. They're public education, right? Mm-hmm. Just like any
public school. Yeah, charter school is public school. I get that. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And we've said that before on the podcast. Charter schools are public schools. They are not private schools. We know that.
Correct.
Yeah. For those that do not know that, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, so we get state funding and federal funding.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, I was just saying we get state and federal funding. So that's
yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think most of our audience would know. But just to be clear, charter schools do get state and federal funding, and they are under the same regulations and the Department of Education in the state in which they live, because they do take state and federal funding. It's when you
That's
have
correct.
A private school that does not take state and federal funding, that is a different bird altogether. And they don't fall under the same rules as a charter school. So charter
correct.
Schools take students that special education students and gifted and talented students and all everything, everybody that comes there, they help. So because it's a public school, public charter.
That's exactly it. Yeah. And it's a distinction that I don't know if a lot of folks understand, especially in California, how charters work. If you're in a district, you're in the district boundaries. We understand you go to a district school in their boundaries, whatever their school district boundaries are. Private schools, you get accepted into a private school. You go through the process and get vetted, and they like you and you like them, and you can go to that private school. Yeah, right. And then you pay your tuition. And then for charters, public charters in the state of California, the way they work is that there's a lottery. So you can come from that area or you can come from parts outside that area, wherever they are. And so the lottery then allows for students to attend. That's how that works.
And it's different. Every state is different in how they do it.
That's true. That's true. And we, you know, we're obviously, you know, we are, we're not religious, so we're not affiliated that way. Charters in California are not that. So just another, you know, another school option.
Another nuance. Yeah. Yeah. And it is an option. It is an option in other states as well. Yeah. It's just, it's as many states as there are that many rules.
Sure.
Believe me, when you run a company that crosses lots of state lines, you learn lots of different rules. Yeah, lots of different rules. Yeah. So, but that's okay. That's part of the challenge, right? So, awesome. Okay. What else? What else do you think? What do you think the next step is? Let's go there. What is the next step for? I know you said you're working on funding. You're working on finding a new permanent home, right? So what's next?
Well, you know, I think that our next steps are about rebuilding. I don't know if you follow Welcome to Wrexham. Do you follow this? The Welsh football club in anyway they. They had a similar tragedy. Actually, their tragedy was much worse in terms of at the turn of the century, they had a mining accident. So they, awful community, tragedy that was really impactful and that they still remember to this day. Well, I bring all that up to say that they have a football club, and their football club,
like soccer, football, or football?
Soccer. Okay. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I think
Ryan
I've
Reynolds.
Heard of it, but yeah.
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 Oh, Ryan Reynolds and Ben McElhaney.
Okay, I have heard of it.
They so they took on this club, and the club has been promoted every single year. So you ask kind of what are the next steps for us when we look at where we are right now? You know, our school burned down, and our other school got smoked out, and we've had you know, it's taken a toll on our school community. But just like what happened in Wrexham, we think of ourselves as rising from tragedy to find what our next, rising from the ashes. And, you know, interestingly, our mascot of our elementary is a phoenix.
Yeah, a phoenix. I love that. Yeah. I remember you said that when we talked before. So that's fantastic.
So we consider ourselves the nobody considers. I'm just making this connection that we consider ourselves the Wrexham of Altadena, and I would say that all charter schools think of themselves that way too. That, you know, with the proper support, we're just looking for our Ryan Reynolds out there in the world.
There you go.
That's what it is.
Okay, Ryan. Come on, Ryan.
Right. No, but
you know,
really it's about community coming together and our community has done that work. And so when you start doing that work, I think it attracts more folks who are willing to give and support. And that's been a really positive thing.
And kids are our future. You know, they really are. They are the ones. They're the reason that you and I get up every day and go to work and serve, because they are our future. And we as educators, I think that parents get it, but you know, when you're an educator and you work with so many kids and you see the impact that you're having, it's just, there's nothing like it. I don't think. Anyway, you know, I used to tell people, I could serve 55 kids as a speech pathologist, you know, when I was working full time. And this year Lighthouse has got 2,500 kids, and I don't get to see them directly. You know, I'm not the one in the classroom. You're not the one in the classroom. But boy, all of those kids are touched by the work that you and I do. And that's people don't always understand that. And that those pieces, sometimes it's the in the background where the unsung heroes. And that's why part of the reason why we're doing this podcast, because the work that you are doing every day matters. And it matters so much. And the world needs to know. And educators need to know.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, not the work that I'm doing, but the work that teachers are doing in the classroom, my work is about making sure that we get rid of some of the barriers for educators so that they can be effective with students. But in much the same way that, you know, your speech pathology work now is about empowering those folks to do that work in the classroom, I actually consider my work a service to the educators and trying to get them so that they can be the best versions of themselves for students. And we've seen, you know, remarkable results, even despite everything that happened in the pandemic, and now we're out of the pandemic and now the fires. For us, we've just seen remarkable growth with our students because of the faculty with high integrity and really working in the best interest of students.
Yeah. Yeah, I love your humble answer, because, you know, you are making a difference, Ian. You really are. And I know you're doing it for the teachers, but the teachers, you know, it doesn't stay there. You know, they're doing goes to the kids, and that's amazing. Okay, so I always ask this question, and I almost don't want to ask it, because I think there's probably a million, but I ask every podcast guest, if you could. And this is such a, I don't know, it's like, I feel like it's a silly question to ask, but if you could miraculously solve one challenge in your school, what would you want to solve?
For us right now, it would be to have a permanent home, a home that we could be at for decades, where, you know, I think a lot of schools have that problem figured out. Like, they have a place, and for some schools that are online, they don't need one, right? Mm-hmm. For us, it's a necessity, and, we're in temporary housing right now. You know, it's not just personally, you know, I'm in temporary housing now, but professionally, our school's in temporary housing, both of them. And we're looking for our forever home. So how do we make sure that, you know, we can get there? Well, we're going to need support. And so that, if I could wave a magic wand, it would be for us to have a piece of property that we could call our own, or that we could lease for 30, 40 years. And that we could build on and rebuild our school community together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Ian, it has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Amazing conversation. Where should people go if they want to learn more and maybe even donate to your school?
www.avison.org. There's a donation page right there at the bottom. You can see all of our work that we've been doing. And if you'd like to give to a particular school, whether that be the elementary, Avison School of Leaders, or Avison Global Leadership Academy, we can make that happen. Thank you so much. I mean, I really appreciate the time.
Yep. Thank you too, Ian. I appreciate your candor and your humbleness. It's been a real pleasure. Take care. And God bless you guys. I know it's tough. God bless you.
Appreciate it.